The value of investments can fall as well as rise, and losses may be made. This is not a buy, sell, or hold recommendation for any particular security. In 2025, the dollar was perceived by many to be embarking on a long-term bear market. In 2026, of course, conditions have changed, and so have some perceptions. In fact, the dollar index over 52 weeks is actually up 4.25%. With me is Jason Borbrasheen, portfolio manager at 91 in London. Jason, the obvious answer to me anyway to the dollar strength is seemingly the war on Iran and now the Fed under a new chairman. Is it that easy, though?
I think it's a changing balance of factors. So I'm not sure the war in Iran put much of an impulse under the dollar, but the new Fed chairperson seems to have. So in a all else equal environment, I think when the conflict began in March, you had oil prices rally. You saw that countries like the US who were exporting and other countries who were having to import should probably on balance have benefited on a relative sense. But really, there was a quite muted reaction, a quite inconsistent reaction from the dollar, just looking at technical factors like how correlated it was to, for example, days when oil was rallying or equities were selling off. What has seemingly, though, changed a little bit more recently is that the relative rate differentials have become somewhat more supportive. By that, we mean that some of the banks, European, UK, relative to the Fed, have seen expectations of their hiking rates being reduced somewhat. So that's occurred as oil has come down. And I think as the end towards the conflict, obviously related to that point, has become somewhat more clear. The last point you raised, or the second point you raised on the Fed, I think is possibly one of the most important, which is that there was a perhaps stale narrative around the dollar debasement trade from the latter part of last year, which was something like the idea that the US administration was eroding institutional trust and that consequently the dollar was on a sort of downward spiral due to geopolitical forces. I think that trade, that concept and narrative has never been an easy one actually to just follow and hold. So there are going to be points of time within that when it's tested. And it seems as though from the sort of positioning sentiment data we follow, it had become long in the tooth and that was at risk of a reversal. And I think the first press conference from Kevin Warsh did light a fire under that because it gave a fairly orthodox, credible perspective that was then reconfirmed by the likes of the US Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent in terms of the need to create credible policymaking from the Fed. So it took out some of the idea that there would be an unorthodox or unnecessary rate cut, and it put some support under the dollar.
It's very interesting, that first meeting that was stewarded by Kevin Warsh, because I think there were 5 points that the committee raised that would change the way that the Fed does things, change the way that they look at data, change the way that they communicate as well. Was that terribly important to you?
To an extent. So I think we have now moved into a different era of monetary policymaking. So the sort of idol or hero for Kevin Warsh appears to be Alan Greenspan, who's famous for having prided himself on not overly being explicit about what the Fed's plans or decisions were. And I think he is following in those footsteps when you look at how succinct the statements are, what the tenor of his arguments were when asked about the next step by the Fed. It was very clear that he doesn't want to give away too much information. And I think ultimately, you know, these working streams that you allude to, et cetera, are all part of that, that the belief from many, and perhaps fairly, is that the Fed does need to reevaluate how policy is made. But that has been given or conveyed to the market in a way which has put some emphasis under the institutional credibility of the Fed, actually. And I think that's why you've seen a lot of the debasement trades, whether that's gold, whether that's cryptocurrencies, actually fade on the back of the press conference.
The ECB has raised rates, and the US Federal Reserve has more or less said that rates will be flat. In fact, there was one investment bank, I think it was Bank of America, that said that they didn't expect any rate cuts in the United States of America till 2028. So interest rate differentials that you've spoken about are terribly important. And despite the fact that the ECB has acted early, you say that their forward expectations are rather more dovish, whereas the Fed are rather more hawkish. Is that the case?
Yeah, so the relative change in terms of what markets are pricing for the Fed and for the ECB has been in favour more recently, at least from the dollar's perspective, I suppose, of the Fed. So there are now, based on the pricing today, 1.5 hikes for the Fed priced, interestingly then followed by cuts into 2027. And then, so a reversal of some of those hikes. And then for the ECB, a lot of the pricing of hikes has been taken out. And so you can argue a sort of circular point here around all the banks have acted with credibility in the face of higher inflation risks from the conflict, but also there seems to have been a resolution or some form of resolution to the conflict leading to lower oil prices. So you have a sort of virtuous dynamic there. But ultimately, yes, you've had a more supportive move in interest rate differentials for the dollar.
Is this all in the market? Here we are with euro dollar as we speak at around about 114, the dollar index at 101. Does the market now say, right, the Fed has set out its case here, and so has the ECB, Bank of England, Bank of Japan, etc. So now we must decide where the dollar is going, because the dollar is, of course, so important for every single asset class globally. Where do you think we go from here, Jason?
Yeah, good question. I mean, I think the simple answer is that some of it is more in the price. So we have reduced a little bit of our dollar exposure. But there's two ways that we look at the dollar in our income portfolios. One is as a pure idea of generating profits for our strategies. And that boils down to, as you allude to, their relative interest rate differentials and what's mispriced in terms of where we think the banks are going to get to, as well as then the more cyclical economic and structural factors that should affect its valuation. I think that side has moved in a small sense more recently, and that's a bit of the driver. You then have the second way in which the dollar plays into portfolios, which is this concept of it as the ultimate defensive asset. And I think that the fact that the debasement trade was weighing against that, the fact that then we've had these moves that seem to counter it, does suggest that the dollar could be back as a useful diversifying exposure in portfolios. Now, whether that's individuals holding more dollars offshore, whether that is actually having a dollar sort of structure in your portfolio to act as a diversifier, I think combined makes some case for why you would still have some. So the sort of short answer is yes, I think it is slightly more in the price. So we have reduced our exposure, but we are retaining some. For a combination of the two, the fact that the US seems economically still to be outperforming, and that you do have this concept that actually as a diversifier, it could be back in portfolios.
Jason, thank you very much for your insight. Jason Borbrasheen is a portfolio manager at 91 in London. This podcast is a marketing communication and is provided for general information only and assumes a certain level of knowledge of financial markets. It is not an invitation to make an investment and should not be construed as advice. The views of this podcast are those of contributors at the time of publication and do not necessarily reflect those of 91. In South Africa, 91 is an authorized financial services provider.